you know, kind of like a distracted driver when they're driving down the road trying to text. They're distracted on something else. We got a lot of Christians that are living distracted lives, trying to get where they need to be, but let Satan be that those texts that they're getting and getting distracted on and sidelined in their lives. That's today's message title. Better than distracted lives. We got to live better than distracted lives. The scripture here in a little bit is going to come from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. That's Hebrews 12, 1. I'll be reading from the NIV version here in a minute. But I'm going to ask you a question. How many of y'all know that we live with an uncluttered, or how do we live with an uncluttered pursuit of Jesus' mission? How do we live with an uncluttered pursuit of Jesus' mission? In other words, how do we live without a distracted life? How do we live without those distractions? I don't know about you, but it's hard, ain't it? It's hard to live without those distractions. No matter what you're doing, no matter how good your intention is, we still have the tendency to be that human side of us that rolls up and says, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, you're like ADHD. Boom, over, distracted, something like a squirrel outside. How many of y'all have those squirrel moments in your lives? I know I do. We all get distracted from time to time, don't we? We got to learn to stay on task with the mission of Jesus in our lives. We got to learn to unclutter our distractions. So let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Lord, as always, I ask you, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul to what you have for us today, Lord. Lord, maybe your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Scripture that we're going to read here in a second and the other ones we're going to refer to, Lord. Lord, I ask that you penetrate our hearts and our souls with those messages today, Lord. Lord, as always, I ask that you get all glory, honor, and praise out of all we do here today for you, Lord. Lord, may we pursue an undistracted life for you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for each and everything you do. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. So, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. NIV version says it this way. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Read that again, because that's a good scripture. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. How many of y'all know that we can get so sin-wrapped that our life is entangled from the moment we wake up until the moment we go to bed? If we allow Satan any control in it. We got to learn to get rid of that. We got to learn to live Jesus' lives, Christ-like, every day, 24/7. Amen? Have you ever been physically entangled in something? It's not fun, is it? Have you ever been rolled up in anything? Have you ever been entangled in a sleeping bag? Who we ever got stuck in a sleeping bag? I bet if you, I see one hand back there. They're at home. How many of y'all ever got stuck in a sleeping bag? Don't lie. Jesus is watching you. How many of y'all gonna say, me and only a few other people have got hung up in a sleep bag? Man, well, trust me. If you haven't, I'll just go ahead and say, you don't want to. You don't want to. Because you're like a mummy. You're like a mummy inside that because it's all up and rolled up around you and zip. You can't get the zipper loose. What? Okay, let me ask it that way. How many of y'all ever got stuck in a sleeping bag when the zipper didn't work? Okay. That's the same thing being entangled in it, trapped in it. Now, I see. And a few more hands went up. How about there at home? Amen. It ain't no fun, is it? It ain't no fun. How many of y'all ever went in a line kind of a sleeping bag? How many of y'all ever went this thing called fishing? Where you take a
pole. What's on the pole?
Fishing line. How many of y'all ever been wrapped up and entangled in a wad of fishing line? Maybe not trying to fish. I know I am not the only one in this place ever got a tree and a pole and all the wire tangled up around it.
It's not no fun, is it?
Trust me, if you're trying to catch a fish, being tangled up in the fishing wire is no fun.
Because you got to get out of that before you can try to get a fish. Amen? You got to have fun getting out of it. So that story is really funny now about getting tangled up like that. But what's not funny is that your sin is doing the same thing to you. Yeah? At first you thought you might be able to handle it, you'd be controlling it okay. It seemed heartless. Heartless. It seemed harmless. There's a word to pronounce. And everything was probably fine for a while. You didn't mind being stuck in a sleeping bag. Hey, if it was a cold night, you didn't mind being stuck in that sleeping bag for a little bit longer. Amen? You could handle it. Probably thought it was fine. But now it's got its hooks in you. Especially if it's a fishing line with a hook on the end of it. You're entangled in it. It hooked you up. Maybe for you, it's not sin that's holding you back. If we bring it back to the text that says, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin, the sin that so easily entangles. There's more stuff to it, ain't there? There's more stuff that can get us tangled up and live in that distracted moment. Meaning that there's other things other than sin that hold us back, that hold me back from God's mission and His ultimate goal in our lives. Sometimes the things that hinder us from Jesus aren't bad. They can be really good things that fill up our plate and keep us from the best thing that hadn't got out there. We're not that bad. We're just busy. We're just busy time. We've settled for good when God has called us to greatness, to be something great. We've just settled for the good part, the okay part. I'm good. I'm fine. It'll be okay. But God has called each one of us to greatness. He called our purpose for a greater purpose, for a greater time than what we're living in. Or maybe for you, you're hindered by hurt. You're hindered by hurt. Hurts that you still haven't healed from. You haven't still given away. You haven't let go. Hurts that you haven't forgive somebody for. Amen? It might even be a hurt that you cause on somebody else that you're letting drag you up and tangle you up and distract you. Whether that's something traumatic that's happened to you, an insecurity or fear that's held you hostage, a label that you've let define you. How many of you know that the world will throw labels on us? But guess what? That's not what defines us. That's not our destination. The label is not your destination. Amen? Or it might be unforgiveness that you still carry around from a relationship. How many of y'all still think about that dude that broke up with you in high school? Or that girl that broke up with you in college? How many of y'all still think about it? Man, they did me wrong. Hey, trust me. Even if we're saved, Satan will bring it back to us all the time. He will throw stuff up to us. Just let it go. Just let it go. There's a good song called Let It Go, but I'm not going to sing it because Bruce will kill me. But you just got to let it go. You got to let the hurt go. You got to let the unforgiveness go. Amen? If you find yourself entangled or hindered, I say from experience that this is not the life that Christ has for each one of us. It's not the life that Christ has for me. It's not the life that Christ has for you. He didn't die for us to be stuck, to be hindered, to be cluttered up our lives. Amen? He died. He came to set us free. And free indeed. Amen? Galatians 5:1 tells us, it is for our freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for our freedom that Christ has set us free. Free from entanglements. Amen. Free from distraction. Maybe you're in a place where you're depressed for that freedom. But maybe for you, you're not quite desperate yet. You're managing it. You're dealing with it. How many of y'all know we got a lot of people that are dealing with some things? Amen? We got a lot of people that are dealing with things. And they think they're okay. They think they're all right. Because they're dealing with it. But they're dealing with it in their own way. And unless they deal with it in God's way and let Him take care of it, they will never, and we will never, get rid of it. Amen? You feel like you've got things under control. And you might for now. You might for this moment. But I can say that all the energy and the time that you're using to handle that sin, that nurse that hurts you, and keep yourself happy in energy, that you're not using to pursue the mission that God set for us, that Jesus has called you to. Because it really is hard to fully follow after Jesus when our hands are full. When our hands are full. So how do we go about throwing everything off that hinders from us the mission of Jesus has called each one of us to? And yes, if you're saved, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you're a missionary. You're on mission. He calls all of His kids to be a missionary. So how do we keep that from getting distracted? How do we keep that from getting cluttered? Amen. James 5:16 says this: confess your sins to God and you will be forgiven. Confess them to one to another and you will be healed. Amen. We seek help from God and help from God's people. Amen. Give you a little demonstration here for Lazarus. Y'all remember Lazarus, right? He stunketh, right? Because he was stuck in the tomb when he died. He rolled the stone away. From death to life came Lazarus. From darkness into night. Only Jesus can do that. Amen? Nobody else can raise somebody from your dead. Hey, if you're a Hindu, hey, he can't raise anybody from the dead. If you're a Buddha, you suck. Because the only thing Buddha does is get a bigger belly. He can't raise anybody from the dead. If you're a, what was the other ones? Dalai Lama, whatever they are. I promise you, the Dalai Lama, as much power as he thinks he has, cannot raise you from the dead. Hey, guess what? The Pope can't raise you from the dead either. Amen? Nobody but Jesus can raise us from the dead. He's the only one that has that power. He's the only one that has the power to raise from the dead. Only Jesus can do that. The problem is when it happens, we're still wrapped up in grave clothes. When Lazarus came out, he was still bound up in grave clothes, wasn't he? Let him go. Get the clothes on. And they unbinded Lazarus. And what happened? Our boy Lazarus was free to run, wasn't he? He had freedom to pursue and move forward into his calling that Jesus had given him a new life. We get that same freedom when we get saved. We get that same revelation and restoration that Lazarus got. We get that same from dead to life that Lazarus got when we accept Jesus as our Savior. Jesus gives us new life. Amen? But we're still bound up in our grave clothes. We're still hindered in our community. We got to live like Jesus lived. We got to act like Jesus did. Amen? We got to wrestle. Sometimes when we're bound up, we wrestle together, fight each other, don't we? is to get along with each other and asking each other for help. We got to help each other move forward in being fully devoted followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whether they're students or adults. Amen. How do we live with an uncluttered pursuit of God's mission? The first thing is, we got to throw off every hindrance. We got to throw off everything that hinders us. And that's where it starts, but guess what? That ain't where it ends. Amen. We got to throw off everything that hinders us. It starts there, but it don't end. And that's what the author of Hebrews continues by writing. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We got a race to run. We love sports around here, don't we? We love sports. I know y'all at home do too. But I'm going to tell y'all, we all have a race to run. Where are you racing to? Are you racing to the finish line of heaven? Or are you racing to the finish line that's going to get you to hell? That's a tough one, ain't it? I pray it's the one that's going to get you to heaven in the end. Because trust me, you don't want to go to the one that's going to get you to hell. Amen? So how do we live with the uncluttered pursuit of His mission? First one was, we throw off everything that hinders. The second one is, we run with perseverance. Later on, the author of Hebrews writes in the same chapter about the pain of perseverance. Hebrews 12:11-13 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have trained in it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. So that the lame might not be disabled, but rather healed. I tell you, perseverance is not easy. Getting through to the finish line with Christ is not easy. Amen. We've got to quit letting Satan distract us from that finish line, from that goal, from that end mark. Amen. Discipline's painful. Going through Christ's likeness is not easy, but it is painful. But it gets us to the end. It gets us to the finish line where we need to be. Amen. When you're tempted to stop, when you're tempted to let Satan rule instead of Christ, remember why you started. Remember why you started in this race. Because of what God did for us, amen? Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's why we accepted that love, that mercy, that grace, and that salvation from Him. When you're tempted to stop, remember why you started. We started because Jesus lived through the garden for us. Amen. If it's possible, He said, take this cup from me. Jesus on the cross, again, I preached on this last week. He said, into my hands, into your hands, I commit my spirit. When Jesus was ready to go, when His time was up, He hung on the cross, give up His spirit for each one of us to be able to walk in His life that we're walking today. Jesus pursued His mission uncluttered by staying focused on what mattered most. He endured the cross by staying focused on the joy set before Him. And what a joy that was. And that joy was, guess what? Each one of us. The joy that Jesus hung on the cross and died for us. And our grandkids, our kids, our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids. He knew all of them was coming. Amen? And that's why he hung on the cross, was for each one of us. It was for me, the church, and the hope of resurrection and the renewal of all creation. So again, the first two, how do we live in uncluttered pursuit of his mission? First one was, we throw off everything that hinders. Second one was, we run with perseverance. We run to finish the race. Amen? And finally, the third one is, we fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus rather than those lies that Satan's telling us. Amen? Rather than what the world is telling us, we fix our eyes on our Lord and Savior Jesus. The second part of Hebrews 1 and 2 in the NIV says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with a perseverance the race marked for us, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Amen. What are your eyes fixed upon? Those that are watching at home, what are your eyes fixed upon today? Are they fixed upon the perfecter, the pioneer of our faith? Or are they fixed upon sin, Satan, the world, lust, whatever it may be? What's your eyes fixed upon today? What has your attention? What do you spend time with? Do you spend time with God 24 hours a day? Or do you have time set aside for other things, worldly things? Guess what? We as followers of Jesus ain't got no time to mess with the bull stuff that comes down the line. We got to be fully focused on Jesus 24 hours a day. Amen? That has to be our attention. If He's our attention 24/7, we can look at the other stuff, the news and all that stuff, that craziness. But we know that that's not where our Lord and Savior comes from. So what has your attention? What has you focused most? What's your eyes fixed on? Anything other than Jesus, you're in the wrong place. Amen? When your eyes are fixed on anything other than Jesus, it will inevitably lead us away from Jesus. A little story here. 7-month-old son said, climbing up things and jumping off things. If I take my eyes off of him, you better believe that he's going to try to dive headfirst off of something. As a dad, I've got to give my son my undivided attention. Otherwise, he's going to hurt himself. How many of y'all got kids like that? How many of y'all are still like that? If nobody keeps the undivided attention on us, we climbing off and jumping off stuff we shouldn't be. Like walking a dog in the yard, doing stuff that we shouldn't be. He's going to hurt himself, ain't he? And I'm going to get in trouble. Bruce probably gets in trouble, and his dogs get in trouble when he gets hurt. As human beings, unless we fix our eyes on Jesus, we will continually find ourselves frustrated with the life that we're living and how that life is going. But there is, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, He'll lead us into a better way. He'll lead us into living that uncluttered, undistracted life for Him. On the road to Jerusalem, James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, had their eyes fixed on securing the best spots for themselves. They were so preoccupied with gaining power and position that they missed what Jesus was doing. They weren't looking at Him. They were looking at them. They missed what He was doing. Because right before this moment, Jesus pulled all His disciples aside to tell them that He was going to Jerusalem to die. James and John still had it in their minds that Jesus was going to show up in Jerusalem, kick out the religious leaders, defeat the Romans, and set up a new government where Jesus is in charge and them in positions of influence. James and John had their eyes fixed on their missions, not Jesus' mission. They came up to the Lord and said, "Hey, boss, we want you to do whatever we ask. We want you to do whatever we ask." We got some employees like that nowadays, don't we? They think everything should be done the way they want it done. Mark 10, 36-37, the NIV version has this. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." Their eyes were fixed on what they could get from Jesus, not actually on Jesus himself. They wanted to sit in places of honor when Jesus came into his glory and his power. If we're not careful, we can be like James and John. It can be all too easy to put more focus on what we want Jesus to do for us than what he's already done and wants to do through each one of us. Amen? Later at the Last Supper, Jesus reveals to his disciples that all of them will abandon him. He says, "All of you are going to take off. All of you are going to be scared. All of y'all not going to stay around. All of y'all not going to have my back," in some of today's language. Simon Peter, the head of the crew, was having none of it. He pushed back on Jesus, saying, "Even if everybody else leaves you, I won't. Even if everybody else leaves you, I won't. I'll still have your back. I'll still be your ride or die." Ride and die, or ride or die, however they say it now. That's what Peter was telling. "I'll be your go-to guy. I got you. I'll take care of you." Jesus looked at him and said, "Truly, truly, I tell you, Peter, you're so crazy. Truly, I tell you, you're so crazy. You'll disown me 3 times. Three. Not just once, but 3 times. Can you imagine what Peter was like? Peter's probably like, "Whoa, hold up, Lord. Man, I didn't even do it once. I don't know what the rest of these folks going to do, but I ain't going to deny you once." Jesus said, "Yeah, 3 times, boy." Peter insisted emphatically, Mark 14:31, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. All of his disciples told him the same thing. "We will never disown you." Then just a few hours later, what happened? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus would be arrested. His followers, those same ones that just said, "I got you, I'm your ride or die," said, "Oh, see, we gone. Poof, we out of here." And Peter would deny him 3 times. Because Peter's eyes weren't fixed on Jesus. They were fixed on protecting himself. Not Jesus, but protecting Peter himself. And so Jesus, the Son of God, would be condemned to death by crucifixion. He would be beaten. He would be mocked. He'd be spit on. Whew. That'd be a rough way to go, wouldn't it? That would be a rough way to go. A crown of thorns would be placed on his head, and on a wooden cross he would hang. It was placed on his back for him to carry to that hill called Calvary. Man, just think about that. He had to carry his own cross to die for us. Now, if that don't tell you how much he loved you, we already know he died on the cross. But he had to start out carrying his own cross for our salvation. ministry, Jesus told everyone what the cost of following him would be. Mark 8:34 says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their crosses and follow me." But for Simon Peter, that cost was too great. That cost was too great. So a new Simon was called. A certain man from Syria, Simon, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross of our Savior. That was supposed to be Simon Peter. This was what happened, or what he signed up for when he decided to follow Jesus. But he took his eyes off of Jesus. How many times have we done that same thing? How many times we know what we signed up for when we accepted Jesus as our Savior? But how many times have we turned our eyes off of him, took him away from him, took our focus fixed off of Jesus? We took our eyes off of Jesus and missed an opportunity that was supposed to be us, that was supposed to be something that we were doing for the Lord, but we blocked it. We stopped it. We stonewalled it. So when Jesus was hanging on that cross, naked, bloody, and beaten, he was hanging there alone. Well, not quite. Because there were two other ones hanging with him, right? One on each side of him. Mark 15:25-27, the NIV says, "It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, 'The King of the Jews.' They crucified two rebels with him, one on the right and one on his left." Where did James and John want to be? On Jesus' right and on his left. But now, instead of his friends hanging up there with him, Jesus is hanging out with two rebels, two outlaws, two criminals. One on his right and one on his left. Where are your eyes fixed upon? Are they fixed on Jesus? Or are they fixed on what Jesus can do for us? Like James and John's were. Are they fixed on Jesus' mission? Or are they fixed on the comfort and convenience? Like Simon Peter's were. The truth is this. I'm talking about this saying that we've got. Out of sight, out of mind. Y'all remember that? Y'all heard that? Out of sight, out of mind. Not us, not me. Not personal. We don't think about it. We ain't got to worry about it. We won't get stressed about it. Amen? If it's outside, out of mind, we won't have to deal with it. We won't have to do anything. Because I know that I often take my eyes off of Jesus and his mission and put them on myself. And if not even these men, Peter, John, James, could keep their eyes focused on him. Not even those three could keep their eyes focused on him. So I know how hard it is for us to do it. I know how hard it is that we struggle with keeping them there 24/7, every day and minute of the week. They spent 3 years with Jesus. And here we are 2,000 years later, where none of us have even seen him in the flesh. Think about that. They walked with him in the flesh. They walked with him in the flesh and still lost fixation on him. Could we possibly hope to do any better? In our modern world, the way we act, in our modern churches, some of them, the way they act, the way they teach, where every distraction is at the tip of our fingertips. Think about that. 2,000 years ago, they didn't have a cell phone that you could pull everything up in the world on, that you could text people back and forth, you could call people on. You could be distracted just like in a moment's notice. And they lost their fixation on him. think of how much harder it is for us today to keep that in a possible opportunity, time, and be able to do it. It's just a quick Google search and Amazon purchase away from the distraction. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's Christians that are in church services this morning that are sitting on their phones during the service ordering pizza for after the service instead of paying attention. They can't even fixate on him for the time that we're in here for a message. Hey, I'm not going to tell you I haven't done something like that. I've done that before. You get distracted. You can't live that way. You got to turn everything over to Jesus. Trust me, the food's still going to be there after service. You might miss what Jesus has for you that day because you're distracted on your cell phone trying to order a Detroit-style pizza from Pizza Hut today. But we have one advantage that these men back then didn't. And that's this. We know how the story ends. We know what happens at the end time. We know what happens when Jesus comes back. Amen. How many would have seen as the darkest day in history, or what many would have seen as the darkest day in history, was actually the day that Jesus came into his glory. It was actually the day that he came into his life. Because Jesus crucified and his resurrection. That was the time that he fully came into the glory of his presence and his mission. Through his self-giving sacrifice on the cross, he defeated sin. He defeated death. And he defeated the devil. And because of his resurrection from the dead, his spirit still poured out on us today. Just like it was 2,000 years ago. That spirit still comes on to us. Amen? Resurrection power now flows through our veins when we accept him and have that relationship with him. Peter, James, and John, some of the key leaders of the early church, started as a ragtag band of 12 rejects. What none of the disciples somebody would have looked up to, would have listened to, would have took guidance from. They were just rejects. They would soon dominate the empire that executed their Messiah. What are your eyes fixed on today? Maybe your eyes are fixed on getting a promotion at work, getting more people to handle your work. Maybe your eyes are fixed on getting more money. Maybe your eyes are fixed on politics in our nation right now because as crazy as it is. Maybe your eyes are fixed on getting something from God rather than understanding what God's mission is for us and giving something. How many of us just want to take from our Savior? Whatever it is today, when our eyes are fixed on anything other than Jesus, it will inevitably lead us away from it, into that distracted lives that we're living in chaos right now. We got to get rid of that, guys. Amen? We got to get rid of us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the Father and the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners back then, so that we don't have to grow weary and lose heart. That's how we stop our distractions. That's how we stop our entanglements, is by turning everything over to him. Letting him worry about tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for speaking through me, Lord, for getting me out of the way, Lord, and allowing your Holy Spirit to speak, Lord. Lord, we thank you for our scriptures today, Lord. Lord, I ask today that you impress upon each one of our hearts, Lord. Lord, what is truly life? To live a life without any distractions, Lord. Without anything taken away from you in our lives, Lord. Lord, a life that has you at the center of everything that we do. Lord, not one that just lets you be the center on Sunday and Wednesday, Lord. But let you be the center 7 days a week, Lord. Lord, every minute of every day, Lord. May we keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. May we be a guiding light post to somebody else, Lord. Lord, may we continue for that Christ-like attitude and life living through your word, Lord. Lord, that we would shine to the world, Lord. That the person in the center sitting next to us, Lord. Lord, that they would say, man, there's something different about them people. And we want some of that. We want to know what they know that keeps them happy and joy in their mornings, Lord, no matter what's going on in our lives. Lord, we want to be so bold because we're free in you, Lord. We want to be able to just go out and tell people how happy we are that we made a decision for your salvation, Lord. To accept it, Lord. To live it, Lord. To proclaim it, Lord, to all the world's ends. In your name I pray. Everybody said, amen. We got a closing song.